Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this Passiontide Sunday, we mark the final 2 weeks until the great Paschal feast. For a time, we now sing only the hymns and canticles. The Gloria Patri has been taken away from completing the psalms and canticles of the liturgy. The crosses are veiled in mourning to teach us that Christ humbly veiled himself in our flesh and blood. We pause to think upon the price of our sin, the shedding of Christ's innocent and precious blood. These next weeks are the time to hear the word of God, think upon it, believe, and give thanks for the pardon we are given in the precious blood of Christ, the pardon we see ultimately guaranteed by his resurrection from the dead. Today, we hear our Lord suffering the insults and hatred of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. Through being confronted by the Pharisees and other Jewish leaders. Our gospel reading this morning joins their argument in the middle. The Jews are saying essentially what every man's sinful flesh wants to shout at God in rebellion, that he is not our true father, and we don't need him as our father. Abraham is our father, they say. And then they accuse Jesus of being an illegitimate child. We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. John 8:41. You are a Samaritan and have a demon, they tell Jesus. Today's sermon is based in part on the introit antiphon from Psalm 43, which says, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me, for you are the God in whom I take refuge." That is the theme for today's sermon. Defend my cause against an ungodly, deceitful, and unjust people. Jesus points out that these so-called children of Abraham do not do the works of Abraham. They do not trust God's word that the Savior would come to redeem them from sin as Abraham so clearly did. So neither are they the sons of the Heavenly Father. But they seek to lie about, demean, and ultimately to kill God's son. They are of their father, the devil. They cannot bear to hear or keep Jesus' words. Now, Jesus comforts us today in two ways as he defends our cause with the sons of the devil. First, he shows us how to handle the darkness around us. We struggle with the vicious attacks of the devil in this life. Satan tempts us to do harm to ourselves and to our neighbors. He tempts us to give in to our lusts and our evil desires. He roots around in the dead works of our past to bother our conscience. This is exactly what the devil is trying to do to Jesus through these Jews who confront him in the Gospel of John. They accuse Jesus of immorality, they seek Jesus' harm, they seek to stir Jesus into argument, discord, and strife that he would hate his enemies. Today we see the same thing from unbelievers. I read a fine article this week by a newspaper columnist who reviewed the movie Unplanned. This movie is the true story of a worker for Planned Parenthood and their abortion mills in Texas. This worker's conscience is shaken by the horrific and horrible death and destruction wrought in the clinic which she witnesses. And her conscience is aided finally by the prayers of her righteous parents. And at last she becomes a pro-life Christian. And this woman now works actively to shut down abortion clinics and to prevent this horror. Well, the newspaper columnist wrote a very favorable review of the movie, and a number of us are going to see it this evening at 4:30 at the AMC theaters. Anyone's welcome to meet us there. My mistake in the article, though, was that I read the over 200 comments left online after the review. And there you could see the battle against the devil. The author of the review and the woman who is the subject of the movie were attacked viciously for their Christian faith. In those comments, you could just feel the cosmic forces of darkness over the present evil age. It was hatred and vitriol on display. But you also see how hard the devil fights to tempt people into advocating even for the harm and destruction of others. But you too may be hated for your faith, and I for mine. Our Western culture becomes colder to God's word by the day. Employers may not want to work with Christians anymore. Governments may start disapproving of speaking the truth of God's word concerning the issues of the day, even from a pulpit. They may show that disapproval in ways that are very costly to Christians in both resources and bodily danger. It's happened before, happens today in many places around this globe. But in the face of such hatred, Jesus speaks truth. Even at the threat of stoning him, even at the eventual cost of his life on the cross, a life that he wanted to give, even for the life of those who hate him. Before Abraham was, Jesus says, I am. He claims to be the one eternal God. Jesus says it is his Father in heaven who glorifies him, not himself and not any men. Jesus honors his Father in heaven. He knows it's not popular. He knows it's dangerous to say it out loud, but it is the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he says, he will never see death. This is what you see in Jesus, how he does not avenge himself, doesn't seek his own honor, but his Father's. The cursing of sinners is turned into a blessing, even as Christ's holy innocence is blasphemed, for the Lord answers graciously even while asserting the truth in the strongest terms. This proves that Jesus is who he says he is. The innocent Son of God loves even those who persecute him, loves them enough to keep trying, loves them enough to the point where he forgave them from his cross. An ancient church father once wrote, if you place the insult with which you are insulted with God, he will avenge you. If you give him the loss that you suffer, he will restore what you have lost. If you long for him in your pains, he will be your true doctor. He will soften the pains. If you cling to him in sorrow, he is your comforter. He will still all your anxiety and remove it from your heart. If you trust him in death, he is the one who wakes you. He will not leave you in death, but will wake you up from it and make you alive again. That's the faith of Abraham. That's the faith of our Lord Jesus. That is the faith all Christians share in their baptism into Christ. Which brings us to the second comfort of our Lord's argument with his enemies. We all put all of our faith and trust in the words of eternal life that come from Jesus, for he alone is righteous and holy. Jesus says at the beginning of our gospel reading, "Who among you can convict me of sin?" And the answer is that no one can. This is a glorious comfort. Christ our Lord is holy and righteous, not only for himself, but also makes us holy and righteous through his all-holy innocence. For he himself is ours, along with everything that he is. As St. Paul says, he was made by God to be for us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, when your sins oppress you, and when you consider who you are in yourself and according to your impure nature in light of his holy law, then the devil and the world and your own conscience indeed do see that there is nothing more impure than you are in the eyes of God. But when you look at yourself in Christ, and even better, when the Father in heaven sees you in his Son, then you are so pure, so holy, so righteous, that your righteousness also goes far above even the angels. For it is Christ's righteousness, which is reckoned to you through faith. The same righteousness reckoned to Abraham. Outside of Christ, each man is the most impure, most unholy creature, but in him, you are the most beautiful, the most holy, and the most blessed. As the epistle to the Hebrews tells you, it is Jesus' holy, precious blood that avails for you. It washes you clean. It makes you whiter than snow. And when you pray, the Father hears your prayers on the account of that blood. For you are clothed in the garment of his holiness. You are his priest. You're his child. And Christ's righteousness and innocence avails for you when you must die. For there in that hour, the Holy Spirit will turn and firmly clothe you into the innocence, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, and you will pray, "Ah, dear Lord Christ, clothe my soul, which is naked and bare of all righteousness, with your innocence and all holy obedience, so that I am not discovered naked and bare, but bring me with you to your heavenly and eternal wedding in the true wedding dress, Christ himself, the garment of salvation. And do not leave me, O Lord, in eternal shame." The high priest of the Old Testament had to sanctify the people with the blood of the sacrifice of goats and bulls and dip a bunch of hyssop into the blood and sprinkle it on the people. But come, O dear Lord Jesus, and plunge into your blood the sweet little hyssop branch of your holy gospel and of my faith, and sprinkle it over me so that I may become pure and holy in you. Sprinkle me with hyssop, says the psalmist, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. The Lord promises in his word that you have everything needed for faith and a holy life, for here in this time on earth, and for there with him in eternity. Truly, truly, I say unto you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Dear friends, cling to his word, given you in your baptism with his name placed upon you. Cling to it as it delivers into you Jesus' blood that purifies you and your conscience to serve him. Cling to it as it guarantees your eternal salvation in the means of grace. Cling to it as you confess it before men. And cling to it even when assaulted by evil and death itself. For you know, with Abraham and Isaac and all the saints that in Christ and his word, you will never see death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.